that he can bring these questions to God, expecting an answer. We're going to see a video. Are you ready for that video, Brian? Thank you very much. And in this video, this is a comedian, Michael Jr., and he's talking a little bit about something not quite different, a bit different to Psalms, and he's talking about knowing your why, and there's a reason why I'm playing this. So just watch this. It may not make sense straight away, but
how do I know? A lot of people, when they think of the phrase, how do I know, they always want to put the what behind it. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The question that you really should ask is, how do I know why I'm here? Because when you know your why, your what becomes more clear and more impactful. If you know, like for instance, people know that I do comedy, but that's what I do. My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. So I can do comedy, I can write books, I can be in a movie, because all of it is motivated by my why. In fact, I have a new web series out called Michael Jr. Break Time. We probably just did the 6th episode. It's on YouTube. So every single Wednesday at 3:00, we drop a new episode on YouTube of Michael Jr. Break Time. What it is it's me. I travel around the country and I do stand-up comedy, in case you didn't know. And in the middle of my comedy set sometime, I'll stop and just talk to my audience. And we've been filming this, and it's pretty cool. So we're in Winston-Salem. I'm going to show you a clip from Winston-Salem. And I'm just talking to this guy in the audience, and he tells me that he's a musical instructor at a school. So I was like, all right, you're a musical instructor. You know, can you sing? Let me hear you sing a song. So this is what happened at the last episode of Michael Jr.'s Break Time. Check it. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Here's what I want you to catch. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful, because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
Bring it up, that video in terms of Psalms is... Sometimes when we come to the Psalms, we could do it like an intellectual kind of exercise. We're looking at what it's saying. We're looking at how it's interesting, how it goes through the Hebrew alphabet, or there's this rhyming couplet here, or whatever it is. We're looking at the what. But I want us to look a bit more deeper than that, at the why. That this is full of emotion. That first time that he sang, it was technically brilliant. You know, he got it all right. But the second time, he did it with feeling, didn't he? And you could sense it still. This is someone who knew that God was there to save him from a real pit of a hole. And I want us to do that when we approach the Psalms in this series, to approach it with a bit more of emotion to it too, to let that draw out. So we're looking at Psalm 121. Do you know this one? Are you familiar with it? It's one of my favorites, which is partly why we're doing it. And it starts off by saying a song of ascents. In some ways, it's a bit like this. If you can imagine the context of this, is you've got a family that's walking the hills. Actually, can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. Walking the hills to Jerusalem on their way, a pilgrimage to the Promised Land for the Passover festival. Come on, kids, come this way. Yep, up this path here. Yeah, I know. I said that it's just around the corner a few corners ago, but it is just around this corner and possibly the next one as well. Yes, we're almost halfway. I know I said I was almost halfway before, but we are almost halfway. Come on. Yeah, I know this is really steep for you and you haven't eaten much. Look, we're going to go just up there. Yeah, past that scree slope and through. Yeah, I can hear that it's going to be dangerous. It will be dangerous. Yeah, and I know Uncle Kevin got taken by a wild animal up there last time. Yeah, and Auntie Marjorie got taken by some bandits too. Yep, that's true. But do you remember what that psalm says? That one that we sing when we do this pilgrimage together. I lift my eyes. Come on, kids, let's sing it together. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Come on, kids, let's go. That's what they would have done. When it says a song of ascents, there's a bunch of psalms in there, and it's songs that they would sing on the way to the pilgrimage, to the Promised Land for one of their Jewish festivals, one of their three. And this was the second one. So when we see the line, I lift my eyes to the hills, some of us might go, oh, that's beautiful and rich, and it reminds me of God, the hills do. Yes, it's true, but for them, they would have lifted their eyes to the hills, and they would have been scared, because the hills were where the bandits were. They didn't have mobile phones back then. They didn't have police patrolling those hills. It would have been a dangerous place, because it says in the next line, he won't let your foot slip. So that means they're talking about going to a dangerous journey. Won't let my foot slip. So where does my help come from? Help me, Lord, is what this cry is. That's the emotion behind it. Help me. I'm looking on ahead. It looks perilous. That journey is scary. I need some help. Where's it going to come from? And then we get the answer, and it's beautiful and rich, and it comes out. And I just need to explore this a little bit more. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Those mountains that we're about to go on, God made them. He knows them. He knows us. It's okay. He won't let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see this phrase, watches over or keeps, is another way that it's translated. You see this about five times throughout this short psalm. He keeps you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord watches over you. It's not like a big brother kind of watching over us for God's own entertainment. Or to watch us when we fall and go, ha ha, see you fell. It's a more of a careful, loving kind of watching over. It lends itself to the military term of keeping watch over the night. Now, if those, my kids love reading some of those fantasy kind of books where there's always a journey that goes off to find some great treasure in a mountain, something. And on that journey, they have to keep watch. They take turns keeping watch over the nights, don't they? And usually the first one falls asleep, and that's when the wolves come or something like that. Well, this is saying that God who watches over us won't sleep or slumber. He's relentless. He's resilient. He keeps watching over us. So kids, as we walk up that mountain, God will keep watching over us. Now, there's another phrase in there. It says, he watches over Israel. And some of you might go, hang on, I'm not a Jew. I don't understand this. And it can get stuck when you're reading through Psalms. You might get stuck a little bit when you see that those phrases like Zion or Israel. For us Christians, we are in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we are grafted into the vine. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. So when we read that stuff about Israel and about the Jews and about Mount Zion, that's for us too. It says as the new church was reflecting on things, they said in Christ there is no Jew or Greek or Gentile. So these promises are for us. So the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun, this is a bit of a strange phrase. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. You might be thinking, is that about wearing sunscreen there or something? And why would the moon harm you by night? If some of the commentators say that this is actually a reference to some of the other gods, the smaller little gods, the false gods that were around the place. A lot of people around the place worshipped a sun god, Ra, didn't they, in Egypt? And there's also gods for the moon as well. So it's kind of like saying God will protect you from those other things, from those other little gods. So for us, it might be more of a God will protect you from the harm that the god of consumerism might bring, or the god of football might bring. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. Now, this is poetry. If you were to read this and take this literally, the God will keep you from all harm, you would say that if you're a Christian, no suffering will ever happen to you ever again. And I know that's not true. How do I know it's not true? Because I look at Jesus. I look at the early disciples. I look at the book of Acts. I look at the first one who died. It was Stephen, and he was stoned to death. Now, that's not the Lord will keep you from all harm that we might think of. So what's it saying here? I think what it's saying is that the Lord will be with us no matter what, that will love us no matter what. I think of a story personally. One of the reasons why I love this psalm is I was wondering whether I should marry Nicole. I was tossing up. I've been going out with her for a while, and should I pop the question? But I was worried about the future. I was concerned. I knew I was living in a day where divorce rates were high. How could I keep going on this journey? How could I trust myself? Would it be okay? It was a scary jump to do, and I wasn't quite sure. And I was saying, God, help me. Help me. I think it's pretty good, but I'm not sure. I think I might mess up. I don't know. And I open up the Bible, and it falls to Psalms, Psalm 121. And it says that the Lord will help you and keep you and keep watch over you. And I had this reassurance that God will be there no matter what. And I went, that very afternoon, I asked Nicole to marry me. So it's been very important for me in my life. And I can see times throughout my life where I've had some struggles going ahead, and I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen, and I was fearful for the future. But I had this reassurance that whatever you're going through, Benji, I'm going to be with you. I'm watching over you. I'm going to keep you. It's okay. We read that in the New Testament too. We can read it. Doesn't Jesus... So actually, can we flick to the next slide there? Thanks, Brian. you yourself might be looking into the future, maybe this afternoon or tomorrow or the next week or the next month or the next year, and there's an anxiety that builds up. I don't know if it's going to be okay. It looks pretty scary. I'm pretty stressed. Well, Jesus talks about this. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Basically, let God worry about it for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Philippians 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything. The Lord is near, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're concerned, if you're anxious about the future, just bring those prayers and concerns to the one who has broad shoulders. Finally, I think about a story that we can find in the New Testament where Jesus is on his boat and there's this storm that comes up and the disciples are scared for the future. This storm is going to break this boat. Those waves are going to crash in. We're going to sink. We're going to drown. This is it. All that we've been working up towards is going to end right now. And Jesus is just there. And he doesn't seem to care. But Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves and he calms the storm. And I think this is a great metaphor for our journey ahead. If you're looking ahead and you're going, please help. Hear the call of God. Calming the storm. I'm going to pray now, and as I pray, I want to just ask you to close your eyes a little bit. And I wonder if there's people here, as I've been talking about the help for the future and their anxiety for the future, whether they think, yep, that's me. Maybe you'd like to be a bit bold and actually just raise your hand right now. Say, yep, that's me. And I'll pray for you. Others won't be watching. You don't have to be nervous about this. Just raise your hand. Yep, that's me. I'm scared. And I'm willing to ask for help. Perhaps others of us are people who help others. We are God's hands and feet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bring this congregation to you. Each one of us, our cares and our concerns and our anxieties. Think of what we read in 1 Peter where it says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And Lord, we do that this morning. We lift our eyes to the hills and we see a future that's a bit scary. And we cry out, help, Lord, to come to us in our need. You're the maker of heaven and earth. You watch over us. You never go to sleep. We don't have to worry about you not looking after us. You're always there. Reassure us of that right now. Reassure us of your love, of your presence, of your care. And Lord, thank you for the help that you give us. In Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you.